Aren't you thankful for coming by that? Thank you for being obedient. And the Lord's had it all figured out. And I'm just thankful for how much Jesus loves us, for what He did for us. We need to be more thankful for what He did for us. We need, as Randy said this morning, as Randy said a while ago, we need to keep the message of Christ dying for us and raising from the dead in the forefront of our minds. Not just at Easter, and that's what's been on my mind the last few weeks for about Easter and about keeping the thoughts on our mind. And the Lord wanted me to keep that in mind with the revival. And, well, the revival didn't happen, and the Lord knew that. But, hey, the message of the cross ever so prevalent in our minds. Tonight, our main scripture is going to be found in Colossians chapter 2. But before we get there, I've got a few things to look at before we get to the main scripture. I was going to call it an introduction, but I don't think we can call it that. It's probably more of the message. I guess you could say Colossians is a summary of what we're going to be talking about for the next little bit, but let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just come to You tonight thanking You for this another day that we have the opportunity to come out to Your house and worship You. God, we thank You for the freedom to do that, God. We thank You that right now there's nobody locking the doors or banning us from coming, God. We thank You for the freedoms that we have. And God, help us for that reason to promote the gospel and to accomplish what You would have us accomplish, God, through Your word and the ministry of this church, God, from the youth, the kids, all the way up in the community, God. We thank You for that. Now would be with me as I bring the message, God. You know it's been on my heart for several weeks now. I just pray that You would speak what Your will is tonight, God. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen. In James chapter 1, verse 14 and 15, it says, "But every man is tempted, and when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." You think about Adam and Eve in the garden. God told them, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. Satan tried to discourage them, tried to make them doubt what God says. But you know the story. When they sinned, they received the death penalty. We all receive the death penalty because of sin. We just read it here in James. We all deserve to die. We all deserve to die. We have got to realize, and most of us have, that's accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that we're a sinner in need of a Savior. And it says in John, 1 John, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar. And His truth, His word is not in us. James also says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet offended in one point, he is guilty of all." Well, I don't know about you. If we look at the Ten Commandments, and I know the law is bigger than that, but if we look at just the Ten Commandments, and we go down there and look at each commandment, it doesn't take long to realize that we've offended the law in more than one point. But the Bible says here we're guilty of all. God requires perfection, and we're guilty for all, of all the law. And we have to admit that we're sinners. We have to acknowledge that we're sinners, and we have to accept that we're sinners. Now, because we're guilty of the law, we all have a piece of paper with the charges written on it. Those charges is we're all guilty of that law. And because of that, we deserve death. And we just read that in James. Very, very familiar verse in Romans 3:23. We hear many times read in the Roman road of salvation, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all come short. As I was studying this, I happened to think of the story in Daniel when King Belshazzar seen the writing on the wall, and the writing said, "Many, many tickle you, Farsin." That word tickle means, and it translated it, "You're weighed in the balances and found wanting." Every one of us are weighed in the balances, are found wanting. What happened to King Belshazzar that night? He was killed that night. He was killed that night. And the wages of sin is death. We all deserve God's judgment and wrath for our sin. We all deserve this death. Like I said earlier, God requires perfection. You guys have read in Revelations about all the terrible things that's going to come one of the days, that God is going to pour out upon the ungodly. Let me just read a couple of verses there. Revelation 15:1. "And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God." Filled up the wrath of God. And then in Revelation 20, the great white throne judgment says, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." James 1:14-15 again. "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." You say, "Brian, that's not too of an encouraging message." Well, I'm not done. You see, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. But thanks be to God, there's another, "It is finished." And you know what I'm talking about, but we're going to read it tonight. Jesus says, think about Jesus. He was the spotless Lamb of God. He was the Lamb without spot or blemish. He told the people, "Think not I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." And he continues on, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." Jesus fulfilled the law to perfection. And because he did, we can be partakers of that perfection as well. Matthew 27, Jesus on the cross. We read about the full wrath of God going to be poured out upon the ungodly. Well, Jesus himself endured that full wrath of God that day on the cross. Verse 45 says, "From the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Think about what Jesus endured that day. He endured our punishment. He endured what we deserved. And he endured the death that we deserved that day when he died on the cross. Continuing, "Some of them that stood there when they heard that said, This man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave it him to drink." The rest said, "Let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him." Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. What did he cry again? I think we see that in John chapter 19. Again on the cross, he says, "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost." We read about how sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. But Jesus, he finished the ultimate price for sin for us because he loved us so much. He said, "It is finished." He accomplished what he was going to accomplish. He accomplished the full sin debt that we deserved, and he took our place. That word, "it is finished," in the Greek is teleo. It means to end, to complete, to execute, to discharge a debt, to accomplish. It is finished. That's also the same word in two verses earlier that says, "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished." He was there on the cross for 3 hours. It was dark. God had to turn his back on him. He endured the full weight of the wrath of God. We read earlier in Revelations about the wrath of God. It says, talking about the seven last plagues, it says, "For in them is filled up the wrath of God." That word "is filled up" there is the same word as "it is finished" and "is accomplished." So, we have a choice. Are we going to accept that salvation that Christ gives us? Are we going to accept His gift that He's given us? Accept His punishment that He did for us? Are we going to try to bear it ourselves? Are we going to reject it? Either way, the full wrath of God has got to be poured out. But are we going to take that full, free gift of salvation? 2 Corinthians says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God." I don't know about you, but I read that. I've read it all my life. That doesn't really make sense to me. But God says, if you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, you can be perfect before me. You can be righteous before me. Our worldly little minds can't make sense of that. We think we have to be a part of it. But God says, if you believe in me, you'll have everlasting life. Now, let's turn to Colossians chapter 2. Now, Colossians chapter 2 is talking to us that are believers, us that have accepted Him as Lord and Savior. Somebody is listening or here tonight that hasn't accepted Him as Lord and Savior. This free gift of salvation doesn't apply to you unless you accept Him. This way of escaping God's judgment doesn't apply to you unless you've reached out and accepted that free gift. This way of salvation doesn't apply to you unless you've admitted that you're a sinner. This way of everlasting life doesn't apply to you unless you've believed that Jesus died on the cross for your sin, took your place, and then rose again on the third day. You must believe that. If you don't accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, the full weight and justice of God's judgment will be upon you. Or you can accept that free gift. Jesus said you must be born again. Do you need to be saved today? Now let's look at Colossians. Chapter 2, verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. We don't have to worry about being burdened anymore about that sin we're reading about. We don't have to be burdened anymore about having offended the whole law. We can walk in the victory that Christ Jesus gave us, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. We need to be thankful each and every day for what Jesus has done for us and has given us a way of escape. We can't do it on our own. We've got to be thankful to Him. Then He says, Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. We see this time and time again. Jesus warns us when He's talking about the end times about false prophets. Paul says, If anybody preaches any other gospel than what I preached about Christ, then let him be accursed. It has to be about Christ. Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me, only through Jesus Christ. Verse 9, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him. When He was on the cross, we said, it is finished. He finished the penalty. And because of that, we are complete in Him. He's got it all neatly fashioned together, our lives perfectly, if we believe in Him. Which is the head of all principalities and powers. That's kind of strange to be in this scripture, but the Lord showed me that He's still in control. And we hear Brother Roy say all the time, God's still on His throne. He's in charge. Nothing that happens out of His will. And we can put our faith and trust in Him. But why not let us keep our focus on Him? Let us keep our focus on the completeness that we have in Him. It's sure. It's 100%. We don't have to worry about it. Verse 11. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. We've studied the circumcision in the Old Testament. Here's talking about the circumcisions made without hands. That circumcision was just pointing to this circumcision. This is a spiritual circumcision. This is not cutting off of the foreskin or cutting off of the flesh physically. This is spiritually cutting that flesh off. We don't have to battle that flesh anymore. He's going to deliver us one of these days. Then it says, buried with Him in baptism. So just like Jesus died on a cross and was laid in the tomb, we can be buried with Him. Our old nature can be buried with Him. Our sins buried with Him. Wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised Him from the dead. Our sins are died. That's what baptism is a representation of. Our old nature is died with Him, but we're raised anew with a new creation, a new life, everlasting life, an abundant life. And we're raised by the power that God gives, the same power that He rose Jesus from the dead, He has given us to have everlasting life. The same power. and we can have that victory that He gives. Verse 13, "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses." Again, He talks about that quickened. That's another word for made alive. Yeah, we're dead in trespasses and sins, but because of what Jesus did, we can be raised again, everlasting life. He's quickened us together, made us alive in Him, and forgiven us our trespasses. And remember earlier when I mentioned about that paper with our charges written on it? Look at what the next verse says. "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross." He erased it, He blotted it out, and then He took it away, watered it up, and threw it away, and put it on the cross. He took our place on the cross. Gone away. We're guilty of offending the whole law, but yet, it's all blotted out. Forgiven. Forgotten. Never to be remembered anymore. "And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a shew of them openly, triumphing over them in it." You know, Satan thought he defeated Jesus that day when they nailed Him to the cross. But he realized that he was defeated. And we can have victory over him as well. Just as we were talking about how Satan tried to discourage Adam and Eve, you will not surely die if you partake of that fruit. We can have victory over Satan. When he tries to defeat us about our sins and tries to bring up the past, we can remind him that Jesus has won the victory, triumph over them in it. If the musicians would come, I've got one more scripture. Just play something softly, but in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, one of my favorite scriptures. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, it says death is swallowed up in victory. "Oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." As we said earlier, we need to keep the message, the thought, the ministry of the gospel, the thought of Jesus dying on the cross for us and raising from the dead. We need to keep that in the forefront of our minds. But we also need to thank Him for it. Let's all stand. Maybe we all just need to come and say, "Thank you, Lord, for what you've done on the cross for me. Thank you for what you've delivered me from." We read about what He delivered me from. But thank Him for what He's done. How about someone that has never received the Lord tonight? Is God speaking to you? Is God saying, "You need to be saved"? Does God say, "You need to confess your sins"? You need to admit that you're a sinner. Somebody's being dealt with by God. Come and make that right. We have many here that'll help you do that. But I'll tell you, it's simple. All you have to do is admit that you're a sinner and say, "God, I need to be forgiven. I want to accept your free gift of salvation. I want to accept you as Lord and Savior. I want to believe that you died on the cross for my sins and you rose again the third day." That's all you have to do. And then you might want to get baptized. God's Word prompts us to get baptized, and the Baptist recommends as an ordinance to be baptized. Then you need to find you a church to attend. But then you need to get into God's Word, read God's Word, and pray, and ask God to come and lead you and guide you in your spiritual walk. And then I would also recommend, if you didn't hear this morning's message, that you get a copy of it, Having a Heart for God. I appreciate that, Brother Roy, this morning. Whether you're a new believer or whether you're a seasoned believer, that's the next step in our walk with God, is having the heart of God. Thank you for this opportunity. Dear Lord, we just come to you tonight, God. Just thank you and praise you for all that you do for us. God, we thank you for your word and what you've given us tonight, God, and what you've given me. Thank you for the things that you've showed me the last few weeks, and I'll never forget it. And I want to thank you most of all for dying on the cross for me, for taking my place, to paying that penalty for my sins. I deserve the death, but you done it for me. I deserve the full wrath, but you done it for me. I deserve the hell and the lake of fire, but you saved me from that, God. And I thank you for that. God, just go with us now. Help us to be lights for you in a dark world. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.